Here we go. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, May the 9th. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Wes Reimnitz. And today is a very special day in the year of the church. What day is it, Pastor Reimnitz?
Yes, 40 days after Easter is Ascension Day.
Ascension Day. Yes. So we've gone through, well, Advent, then we had Lent, then we had Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, and we just finished a number of Sundays after Easter, leading into Ascension. And soon we'll be getting to Pentecost, the Day of Trinity, and then into the various Sundays of Pentecost, correct?
Correct.
All right. So today we want to talk about Ascension, since there will be churches having worship services tonight. I know we used to. Did you?
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of interesting. On Monday, I was working out at my exercise place.
Yep.
And my exercise buddy for the day was a retired lady, and she was excited that she was going to worship on Thursday today.
Wow.
And I thought for a moment. I said, "Well, that narrows what churches you belong to: Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, and most of all Lutheran." And come to find out, she was a Lutheran, and she was LCMS in one of the local congregations here in Springfield.
Wow!
But excited, just excited to celebrate the Ascension of Jesus.
Well, the word Ascension comes from the Latin. And what does the English word to ascend mean?
Well, it means to go up. It's an ascent. It's a process of doing. In English, we talk about the ascent of Mount Everest, or a person's ascension to presidency. But in theology, we're looking at it in a much different direction. We ascend to heaven without dying, or die first, or bodily resurrection and taken into heaven.
So in the Bible, the word ascension can refer to going to ascend to heaven without dying first, or the bodily resurrection takes place and we ascend into heaven. That occurs in our experience, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
When do we ascend into heaven?
Well, when we pass on, or second coming of Christ.
Yes, very good. Now, what is interesting is the idea of ascension is also found in the Old Testament. What does it sometimes apply to?
It's about the first two worlds, the first world before the flood and the second world after the flood. The first world is in Genesis there with Enoch. And there we're told that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So he ascended into heaven without seeing death. And
that's Genesis 5, verse 24.
Right.
Who was Enoch?
Well, he was one of the descendants of Adam and Eve.
Who was he the grandfather of?
Was it Noah?
Yes. He
really?
Was Noah's great-grandfather.
Mm.
And Genesis 5:24 says, He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It's totally clear what this means. And some would suggest it means that Enoch had an ascension into heaven. What is a clear story in the Old Testament?
Well, before we get to that one, we sing it in our hymns in the way that Enoch trod.
Oh.
You know,
That's a sentence from a hymn?
Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it talks about that we walk in the way that Enoch trod.
Excellent. Excellent. But all right.
The other one that you're talking about is out of 2 Kings chapter 2. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them from asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So Elijah was taken into heaven without seeing death.
Yes. Now we know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, known as the Torah or Pentateuch. He may have written, but he could not have written all of it because of his death and burial is detailed at the end of the Torah in Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. And that's good evidence of what?
Well, according to his death and burial, and that there was some idea of an ascension there. Because we're told in there that we cannot find the burial site of Moses because God was the one who took care of the burial.
Now, Moses does appear later in the New Testament. Where?
It's interesting, in the Transfiguration.
Exactly.
Moses and Elijah are talking to Christ about his impending crucifixion.
In fact, they talk about his exodus from the world.
Yeah.
And that's the word used for the Old Testament. But when we are talking about the festival of the Ascension, about whom is it really normally talking about?
Well, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, and then he's taken traditionally to the Mount of Olives near Bethany, near Jerusalem.
And now, when you say 40 days, I thought he was on earth for 3 years.
40 days after his resurrection.
Oh, 40 days after his resurrection. So many people saw him after the resurrection.
He talked in one instance that there were several hundred that had seen him.
Yes. So the Gospels, Matthew and John, do not record the ascension. What Gospels do?
Well, Luke and Mark.
Yep. What does Mark mention?
So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God.
That's really the important point of the service of ascension, that Jesus leaves the earth and returns to the right hand of God. What does that mean, the right hand of God?
Well, in biblical times, the right hand of God would be the right hand of the king. It was the most powerful position to have in a kingdom and carry out the king's business.
Yes. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, they really worshiped Jesus. And then after his exaltation, ascension into heaven, he was parted from them. After that, what did the disciples do?
Well, they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, praising and blessing God.
Where did they go?
To the temple, wasn't it?
That's right. To the temple, praising and blessing God. Now, in John's gospel, the ascension is not described, but how does John reference it?
Well, he records it in John 3. No one has ascended into heaven, but who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man.
And what does he say after the resurrection, for example, to Mary Magdalene?
Don't hold on to me, for I have not ascended to my Father. There's another Bible passage from John 2 we got to remember. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes. Well, what place is he talking about?
Heaven.
Yes. And so we have right now Jesus in heaven preparing a place for the saints to go to. So that kind of takes care of the Gospels. But in Acts, which is written by the Apostle Luke, what does he talk about in Acts 1:20?
Well, that they were at the Mount of Olives and that Jesus spoke with them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And there it talks about he was taken up into a cloud and they received him out of their sight.
Who showed up then as they were looking up?
Well, we believe it was two angels. They said that one day he would return the same way that he went up into the heavens.
What would that mean?
The return?
Yes, in the same way.
The second coming, when he comes as, we talk about him as prophet, priest, and king, and he returns as king. The second
yes.
time for the end of the world.
Well said. Now, have you ever been to the Palestine?
No.
I haven't either. But where is the traditional site of the Ascension?
They were saying that the traditional site was Mount of Olives, on which the village of Bethany sits. And, of course, there's a church building that was erected at the end of the 4th century that was destroyed and rebuilt a couple of times.
Now, today there is an octagonal chapel called the Chapel of the Ascension. And what does it house?
Yeah, I found that interesting. It houses a slab of stone, which reportedly contains the right footprint of Jesus where he stood before he ascended.
Boy. So, who also holds to the ascension of Jesus, which might be a surprise to our listeners?
It was held by the Muslims. They used the site and they venerated as the holy site as the Christians do.
Yes. So while the Muslims do have some history concerning Jesus, they don't believe him to be God, do they?
No, they consider him to be a prophet like Moses and Elijah and Muhammad.
Yes. Now, the ascension is a difficult story for many, because many people today do not hold to what seem to be the ancient three-tiered cosmology of hell below us, earth in the middle, and heaven above us. What do many believers prefer to think?
Well, they prefer to think of heaven as a spiritual realm, an idea that Jesus ascended into it bodily is a bit puzzling. That was quite a problem for what the Reformed Church said. How could he bodily be in heaven and then yet everywhere present in the Lord's Supper?
Yes. In fact, do you recall what the first Russian cosmonaut said when he ascended above the earth?
No.
He said, "There is no God here."
Oh,
he thought
really?
He would see God, because he had that false view that heaven was above the atmosphere.
Well, don't we look at the space, the continuum, the moon, the other planets, the Milky Way, as part of God's creation?
Yep. So heaven is a spatial area where God is with the Son and the Holy Spirit. We don't expect to see that, no matter how far our spaceships go, because it's not out of the universe. It's within the universe, much like the Garden of Eden is today. We don't know where the Garden of Eden is, do we?
No.
Exactly. So we believe that the resurrection and the ascension, that Jesus did those bodily, and therefore that's why the tomb is empty. What creed talks about the ascension?
Well, the Nicene Creed, and it's also in the Apostles' Creed.
Yes. And what does it say?
Well, ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father.
And what does the Westminster Confession of Faith also say?
Well, that it's a day of fulfillment of atonement.
Yes.
It's been linked theologically to that.
Have you seen many artistic renderings of the ascension?
I laugh because, yes, I did. My first one was when I was in kindergarten.
Really?
Yeah. The kindergarten teacher, we were covering ascension, and he showed him in the billowing clouds going up, and I asked the question, so he's going to return just like that? And she said, yes. Well, we had a tradition in the church that I went to, that at the end of Sunday school, we'd line up kindergarten on up to high school behind, and we would meet our parents upstairs. Well, it was my turn to lead the students. And I looked outside of the stairway and I said, Jesus is coming today. And they go, why? And they said, well, my Sunday school teacher told us that he'd come the same way. And the clouds out there looked just like they did on the picture.
Wow, that's pretty good. The Anglican Book of Common Prayer, it refers to the Day of Ascension as Holy Thursday. And what do you do in most liturgical churches on the Day of Ascension? What is extinguished?
Oh, the Paschal candle.
What's a Paschal candle?
Well, it's lit at Easter, and generally we light it at a baptism. Normally, when we do a baptism, we have the Paschal candle lit to remind us of Christ. And it's put out, it's first lit as a symbol of Christ leaving the church on earth on Ascension Day.
Yes. I never did that at my regular congregation, but I saw it happening in another congregation I was visiting, and I found that kind of interesting, for sure.
Well, it just kind of depends on how you look at it. I mean, there's some churches that don't quite put out the Paschal candle because Christ is still reigning. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and He's still with us. Others signify that He's ascended into heaven and that His brain, so to speak, in growing in as an adult is finished.
Yep. Now, one of the things I like talking about, in the Old Testament, God had set up certain authorities to help the Old Testament Israel. There were prophets, priests, and kings. Who became a prophet, priest, and king here on earth?
Well, it would be Jesus.
How is he a prophet?
Well, he foretold of his of how he was fulfilling the scriptures in the Old Testament, probably like the road to Emmaus when he began to teach them.
How is he a priest?
The priest offers up the sacrifice, and he was offered up as a sacrifice for mankind.
And how was he king when he was on earth?
When he was on earth. I haven't been asked that question in a while.
Well, he was the shepherd of the flock. Remember the many metaphors that Jesus uses. He was the door to get into heaven.
I am the way, the truth, and the life, he would come to say.
Exactly. While he was here on earth. But then he ascended into heaven. How is he prophet now that he has ascended?
Well, through especially pastors that go on tell the good news. And we are reminded in the Epistle of Peter that the universal priesthood of all believers, that we have that opportunity to go out and share the good news of Jesus.
Excellent. How is he priest in his ascended state?
Well,
the priest did two things in the Old Testament.
Offered up sacrifices.
Right. Well, that's not happening. But what was the other thing the priest did?
Intercede for the people.
That's correct. He prayed for the people. Does Jesus intercede for us in his ascended state?
In 1 John chapter 1, it talks about where he is our defense attorney.
Yes.
Interceding for us.
Who was the prosecuting attorney?
Well, it would be Satan.
Yes. He prosecuted us because of our sins. How does Jesus defend us from our sins?
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he's also the judge, you know that?
Yes. He will be the judge on the last day.
We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as we were told in Corinthians.
And in his ascended state, how is he king?
He's king over the whole church, which it fulfills Ephesians chapter 1, talks about how he's the head of the church. And
yep. So that's the ascension. Thanks very much, Pastor, for helping us understand the true meaning of the ascension. And if your church is having an ascension service, please attend it. We'll continue with Law and Gospel on tomorrow's broadcast at 9:30. I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to Wes Reimnitz. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.